Good morning. I'd like to tell you a bit of a story. It's not a story that I've written. It's part of a short story written by a really famous writer called Ernest Hemingway. And he wrote a story called The Capital of the World. And in it, he writes about a Spanish father and his teenage son. Now, the relationship between the father and the son got really, really strained. It was going really badly, and eventually it fell apart. And the son, who was called Paco, okay, which you need to know is a really common Spanish name. Lots of people call Paco in Spain. So the son, Paco, eventually he just ran away from home. Okay, and then his father begins this long and difficult search to try and find his son, Paco. And after he'd been searching for a long time, as a last resort, the exhausted father, he puts an advert in a Madrid newspaper, a big city in Spain, hoping that his son would see the advert and respond to it. And this is what the advert said. "Dear Paco, please meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Father." In the story, next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 Pacos. All seeking forgiveness from their fathers. And it makes the point that there's lots of people in this world who are carrying around a heavy load of guilt, feeling like they've let other people down, let themselves down, let God down by the things they've done, or the things they've said, or the things they haven't done, or the things they haven't said. Carrying around it a sense that you need forgiveness, but not knowing where to find it, and searching for comfort in all sorts of ways, all sorts of places. And the good news, the great news, is that our Father in heaven, who loves us so much, he's made the first move. A bit like Paco's father put an advert in the paper announcing that he forgave his son. God sent his son Jesus to die on a Roman cross to defeat death and invite us to turn to him and be forgiven by him. And we're all invited. And it doesn't matter, excuse me, it doesn't matter that we might feel completely unworthy. It doesn't matter that you might be ashamed of the worst things about yourself that you can't admit to anyone else. Because God knows all that, and he loves you anyway. There's a verse in Romans chapter 5 that says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that book of Romans, it goes on to tell us that when Jesus died for us on that cross, when he was crucified, Romans chapter 6 tells us that our old self was crucified with him. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So through Christ's death, we've been freed. Freed from sin. Dead to sin, but alive, newly alive in God. And that's new life. Not being dragged down by guilt and shame, but experiencing life the way that God has planned for you. Not having to live with the long shadows from the past, but being able to face life with confidence. Because we can read more in Romans as well, that for those who love God, he works for the good. In Jeremiah, God says to his people, he's got plans to give you hope and a future. That's new life. We've just heard there, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. So why would you not reach out and grab this new life? Well, I'll tell you one reason why lots of people don't. Because doesn't it feel hard sometimes to say you can't do something by yourself? Let me tell you another story. This one's true. You can read about it for yourself in chapter 14 of the book of Matthew. So there's Peter. He does fishing on a lake for a living. And he's out in the middle of the lake in his fishing boat with his mates, and they get caught up in this sudden storm. Okay, such a bad storm, they think they're all going to die. Scary enough as it is. But then it also looks like there's a ghost coming towards them, coming across the water. Everyone's terrified. But then they realise it's not a ghost after all, it's Jesus. And he's walking across the surface of the water towards them. And far from being scary, he's saying reassuring things. Don't be afraid. I'm here. It's okay. So Peter gets this burst of confidence and says to Jesus, let me walk out on the water just like you. And he starts to walk on the top of the water, keeping his eyes on Jesus. But then he gets distracted by the storm raging around him, takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. And this next bit is why I wanted to read this passage today. What did Peter do when he found himself in trouble? Did he rely on all his years of experience of fishing in that lake? Did he kind of show off his fisherman sailing skills in front of his mates? When you think about it, just think how embarrassing it could have been for him. This experienced fisherman, this seasoned sailor, in front of all his fellow fishermen and sailors, to beg for help from someone who probably had no skills in fishing at all. Jesus. Did he try and style it out? Did he try and blag his way out of the situation? On top of that, never mind that he was struggling in front of his mates, he was struggling in front of Jesus, his leader. I don't know about you, but I don't like looking silly in front of my boss or in front of my teacher. So there's another reason why Peter could have decided not to ask for help when he began to struggle. He could have kept trying to sort it out for himself as he sank into the stormy waters. But what did Peter actually do? Well, he screamed to Jesus for help. Yes, he did that in front of his friends. Yes, he screamed out to someone who he thought might not have been quite as good at sailing and fishing as him. And yes, to his teacher. Because if he'd been trying to impress Jesus by getting out of the boat and walking on the water, it had ended in a bit of a massive failure. He couldn't do it by himself. And just like Peter, we've got our pride, we've got our strong will. But Peter, in the face of disaster, he humbled himself and he kind of made the smart choice. He could have dug in his heels, been arrogant, thought, if I can't save myself, no one will. Lots of us, we put a lot of store by being self-sufficient. Peter could have been frozen into doing nothing for fear of the disgrace of his friends watching him plead for help. We can set a lot of store by what other people think of us. Or he could have drowned rather than ask for help from somebody that he looked up to, so that someone he respected didn't think badly of him. But Peter chose wisely. The story doesn't end with Peter trusting in his own courage, skills, his bold talk, and then drowning beneath the waves. No. For all his skills and his bravery, all that he had to offer Jesus was the floundering hands of a drowning man. And we read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And God our Father reaches out to every one of us. A bit like the Spanish father who put the advert in the paper saying, all is forgiven. And if we will give up our foolish pride and trust that God knows best, he will save us. We can copy that humility of Peter if we can. We need to realise that we're drowning and we've got no power of our own to save ourselves. We need to understand that we need someone to rescue us. And like he said to Peter when he was on the lake, Jesus will say to you, don't be afraid, I'm here. It's okay. We can ask God to pull us up. Pull us out of the old way of living and into new life with him as our saviour. Reach out, take God's hand. And that's God's hand. It's got a big nail scar in the middle of it because he reached down to you first, saying, come and meet me. All's forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that even though you know all about us, you still love us so much that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die for us so that we can have eternal life with you. Thank you that even though we can never live our lives the way we want to, let alone the way that you'd want us to. Because of your grace, we can put off the old life with its burdens and guilt and take up the offer of new life with you. Thank you that you reach down to us. And Lord, change our hearts so that we can put off our pride and any other obstacles and reach out to you and your offered hand. Lord, thank you for this baptismal service today and all that it represents in terms of your gracious love for us. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.